You're a soldier in Christ's army today. Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Today our sermon's going to be titled, The Importance of People. The Importance of People. If you don't think people are important, I think you will by the end of the message today. The Importance of People. And our scripture comes from Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4, talking about the importance of people. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here's what God's word says. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, God, we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for the memorial of all the great things that you've done, God. We thank you, God, for all the wars that you've waged in your name, Lord, to save us from our sin, God. We thank you, Lord, for those wars that you battle each and every day, God, that keep us from sinning, Lord. God, we thank you for the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that you bless us with, Lord. God, we thank you for all the soldiers, Lord, from every military front, God, that stand up, Lord, for the freedom in our country, God. We thank you and we remember all those who had gone away and had passed on, Lord. God, some of them are our comrades, our friends, our relatives, and our loved ones, Lord. And so, God, we pray that you just help us to remember them, Lord. God, we also remember all of our other dear loved ones that have passed on. There's people in here today that have children that have gone home to be with you, Lord. There are people that have had wives and mothers that have gone home to be with you, Lord. And everyone in between. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for their lives and the impressions they made on us, Lord. God, this is a special day for us indeed, Lord, to be able to celebrate the wonderful memories, Lord, that people have left in our lives, God. And we thank you for giving us those people to spend time with us, Lord. And we thank you most for everything that you've done, God. But the most thing we thank you for is for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. So, Lord, that if we believe in him, we can have that mansion over hilltop that we sang about today, Lord. That we will be with you forever in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us today and every day of our life. For it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Memorial Day is a special day for me. It's a special day for me. When I was a child, I thought, well, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, they were all great days. Why were they great days? Do you know, Addie? They were great days because you got a day off of school. That's why they were great days. But as I grown older, and I became in the military, involved with the U.S. Army and things like that, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, all those days began to mean a little bit something more special. And I'll tell you that when I see us celebrate a day of patriotism, a day of remembering those who have fallen, whether they be our loved ones, whether they be military people, it really just touches my heart. And once I served in the military, I never really looked at the American flag the same way ever again. There were times in my life that I'd go to sporting events and, you know, you'd put your hand over your heart and you would hear the national anthem be played. And you'd see people talking, and you'd see people drinking and eating. And maybe I was one of those persons at one point in time. But ever since serving in the military, I look at that flag and I just see it as something different. And every time I hear that national anthem played, it just brings a tear to my eye. I was at the Yates Center days yesterday, and the Marching of the Colors took place. And so, if you're a soldier, when the Marching of the Colors takes place, you stand at attention and you salute as those flags walk by and those men carrying those flags. And then a woman came on and she sang our national anthem, did such a beautiful job. And when she started talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave, a tear just comes down my eye. I'll tell you, there's something special about that flag. People have lived for that flag. People have died for that flag. But that flag means something. So next time you go to a sporting event, whether it be a basketball game, a football game, one of your child's activities, and they stand and they say that national anthem, don't just stand up and sing it because it's something you're supposed to do. Look at the flag and look at the colors of the flag and think about all the men and women who have served our country to give us the freedom to be able to worship God and to live in the great country that we live in today. Before we get much more into the sermon today, I'm going to ask the congregation to stand and Brother Darren to come forward. He's served in the military and he's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Come on up here, Brother Darren. Lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, brother. How long has it been since you said the Pledge of Allegiance? A long time. Well, I'll help you, brother. I got some cheap notes if you need them. Let's do it.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, in liberty, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. You know, we used to do that every time when I was a kid and we were in grade school, whether it be kindergarten all the way through eighth grade. That was the way we started our day out. We got up and we had to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And it meant something to us. But somewhere along our adult lifehood, we just don't see it that often. We don't say it that often. And it's something really to think about, something special. And so tomorrow is the day we celebrate Memorial Day. For some people, it's going to be a great day. There's going to be days of picnics and barbecues and time at the lake. And there's going to be all kinds of wonderful family gatherings. And then for other people, it's going to be a time of mourning. A time of sorrow. Because while Memorial Day started out as a day where we remembered what happened in the Civil War, it's kind of grown where we remember veterans of all different wars. And it's even grown beyond their boundaries, beyond that, to grow to a place where we remember the loved ones that we have that have fallen away. And so it's a special time. And so for many of us, it'll be a happy day. But for those who had lost somebody, it'll be a somber day. But I believe Memorial Day is so important that every single American should recognize this day out of their patriotic duty to our country and to honor those who spilled their blood to make America the country that it is. A free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. A nation that was founded under God. Praise the Lord. Well, those who ever served in our military, go ahead and stand and be recognized at this time. This is something we just can't do enough is recognize our military soldiers. Amen. Thank you guys for serving. We need to appreciate our soldiers. They're the ones who provided us the earthly freedom that we have today. And so as we celebrate Memorial Day today, I want to celebrate two different types of people. I want to remember those who have passed on, and I want to remember those that are living. And so you think about... There's a man I was studying, I was looking, what's a good illustration I could use about remembering how important people are? And there was a man I found, his name was Thomas Monaghan, and he was the founder and the chief executive officer of Domino's Pizza. From 1970 to 1985, Domino's grew from a small, debt-ridden chain to the second largest pizza company in America. And so they were just minds were blown about how this had grown from a debt-ridden chain to this wonderful company. So he was interviewed and they asked, how did this phenomenal growth of your company come about? And Thomas explained, I programmed everything for growth. And they said, well, what does that mean? How did you program everything for growth? He said, I'll tell you what we did. Every day we worked to develop people. The key to growth is developing good people. It's not special cheese. It's not a tasty crust. It's not delivery schedules, but it's dedicating your time to developing incredible people. Now, I wonder where Thomas got this idea from, that he thought it would be important, that people would be the most important thing. I don't know where he got his idea, but I do know where this idea of people being the most important thing came from. And that came from God, our Creator. Thomas was also a Christian, and so maybe he got his idea from God as well. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says this, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created him. So there it is. He said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us make trees in our image. Let us make donkeys in our image. Let us make flowers in our image. No, he said, let us make man in our image. And so God's emphasis on Scripture has always been on people. People are the most important thing on the face of this earth. God is interested in people, not just because they're his highest creation, but because he loved you. He had known you from the time before you were knit together in your mother's womb. And so the scripture says God wants every single person on the face of this earth to know him as their Lord and Savior. And you say, well, Pastor, that's just not possible. Well, you're right. God says that narrow is the gate for the people that will go into heaven, and broad is the path that leads to destruction. But God's desire is for every single person to know him as their Lord and Savior. Do you know why? Because God loves you, and he created you for a plan and a purpose. Whatever struggle you're going through today, he wants to help you with that struggle. He's your biggest cheerleader. God wants to save you most often from the decisions you make yourself. The Lord loves people. So if God loves people, shouldn't we love people? Someone once said in Bible study, I think it was Brother Darrell, just last Wednesday, he said that a way to show our measure of how much we love God is how much we love people. Because the Bible says that you're supposed to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it says the second greatest command is like it unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love God, it says that you will be obedient to his commandments. And so one of his commandments is to love people. And you say, well, Pastor, there are people in my life that are unlovable. I know. I visit them too. They may be unlovable to you or I, but they're not unlovable to God. God loves those people. You know why I know God loves people? Listen to all these scriptures he shared. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must also love one another. By doing this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Just in that one scripture, how many times did you hear, if you love one another? It's important. Then he continues, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love and does not know God, because God is love. It continues, Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. There's all kinds of scriptures I could share with you about how important it is for us to love one another. How important it is for us to value people. And the Lord didn't just tell us to love one another without setting an example. Oh no, he set an example. In John 15, 12, 13, it says, my commandment is this. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus proved his love for us when he laid down his life for us as his friends at the cross of Calvary. So my question to you today is, how good are you doing loving people? Just take a second to let that soak in for a minute. How good are you doing loving people? Rick Warren writes in The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, I've been at the bedside of many people in their final moments, when they stand on the edge of eternity, and I have never heard anyone say, bring me my diplomas, I want to look at them one more time. I never heard anybody say, show me my awards, my medals, and that gold watch I was given. I never heard anybody say, when life on earth is ending, people don't surround themselves with objects. What we want is people around us. People we love and have relationships with. And in our final moments, that's when we realize that relationships are what life is all about. Folks, I don't want you to wait until your final moment to realize the most important, the most valuable thing you have in your life today is the people around you. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed to realize that. Many times, church, we forget how important people are. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we're going to remember, first, the people that have deceased. In Romans 1, 8, 9, it says, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. And this is how I constantly remember you. If you were to pass away today, how would people remember you? Would they remember you as a loving person, a person who loved the Lord, a person who served and helped others? If today was the last day of your life, how would people remember you? Think about it. One time I was visiting a man in hospice. This man was getting ready to pass away. It was coming any time. He actually was on hospice and he did pass away. And somebody, they had a different nurse that came in and they revived him and brought him back to life. And so the quality of life he had now was even worse than the quality of life he had in the first. But I would go there and I'd visit him at least 3 times a week. And I remember one of the last things that happened is we'd hold our hands and we'd pray. He'd start out and then I'd finish. And I said, "Well, I'll see you later, Sam. I'll talk to you next week." And he said, "You can say goodbye to me, but don't say goodbye to the thought of me." Isn't that interesting? You can say goodbye to me, but don't say goodbye to the thought of me. Folks, those loved ones that you care about today, you can say goodbye to them until you see them in heaven, but don't forget about them. Remember those thoughts of those grandparents and wives and children and people you love? Remember them. This Memorial Day weekend, we should look back and remember people. Remember those that have passed on. Remember our deceased veterans, our family members, and our friends. You know, Memorial Day was originally started as a holiday called Decoration Day. And it was during the Civil War, and these ladies, they would go and they'd decorate the Confederate graves. And they'd do a great job. And then one woman, no one knows her name that I know of, but one woman started and she said, she took the extra step. Instead of just decorating those Confederate graves, she went to the graves of the North, the graves of the enemy. And she started decorating those graves. And she was persecuted by her other friends that were decorating other people. And finally, you know what? She just stood up and said, "That person's grave, that was somebody's father. That was somebody's son." And then those other ladies that were persecuting that woman, they joined in and started decorating those graves of the North and the Confederate graves. Memorial Day is a time to bring our country together. Not a time that should separate us, but a time that should bring us together. This past week, actually this past Friday, I was blessed to meet the great nephew of a man named Ward McGinnis. The man whose great uncle built the house that Shannon and I and Josh live in. He just showed up to our door with his son, Skyler, knocked on the door, said hi. And he shared his name and said, "My great uncle is Ward McGinnis." And Shannon looked at him and said, "That's great." And then she went and got me. I was doing something downstairs in my office, and she comes down and she's like, "There's some guy here, and his great uncle is Ward McGinnis." And I said, "So, my great uncle is Roy Barris. What does that mean?" And then we started to think, oh, Ward McGinnis, that's the guy who built the house we live in the 1920s. And so I went up to the door and I met this man, and he shared with me that every year to commemorate his loved ones, Ward McGinnis and several other family members, him and his son fly all the way from South Carolina to come just to decorate these graves. That's how important it was for them to remember their loved ones. And so I said, "Well, that must cost you a lot of money." And he said, "Well, it is kind of expensive, but I have a Cessna." And so I flew in and landed at the airport over there and rented a car and came in and did this. So he came around and he was sharing all these great memories he had when the house was, after the house was erected. I remember as a kid or whatever, I was able to eat in this room, but I couldn't go in this room. This was off limits. "Well, you can come in there now, brother. Check it out." You know. But he was able to look at everything. But then I asked him, I said, "Well, what kind of man was Ward McGinnis? I mean, that would cause you to fly over 1,000 miles to come and decorate his grave. What kind of guy was this guy?" He said, "Man, he was one of the greatest people I've ever known." He said, "And if you've lived in Eureka and you talk to somebody who's lived in Eureka for a long time, they'll know who Ward McGinnis is." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, he was a good Christian man. He loved the Lord. He loved people and he valued people. He used to have a station wagon filled with candy bars and gum and whatever. And he would drive around to schools and he would go to the gas station. If he saw a kid riding a bike, he'd pull over and say, 'Hey, do you want some candy?' He was just a giving man, a really kind-hearted man." He said, "And you know what? He learned how to value people. And because of him, I learned how to value people too. Folks, this man flew with his son over 1,000 miles to decorate some graves of his loved ones because he knows the value of people. And you know what? His great uncle knew the value of people. Now this great nephew knows the value of people. And that boy's son will know the value of people because this man, Ward McGinnis, the man who built our house, loved and invested in people. Folks, I can't stress how important it is that we love and invest in people. And so as we remember this Memorial Day, let us remember those who have passed away, those that have served, those that made a big difference in our life. And for the Christian, we have something to look forward to. You see, in Job 14:14, a question is asked. It says, if a man dies, will he live again? And there's all kinds of answers the world has to this question. Science says, well, he may live again. Philosophy says, well, he hopes to live again. Ethics say, well, he ought to live again. Atheism says he's never going to live again. And you know what Jesus Christ says? In John 11:25, he shall live again.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, take heart. Remember and rejoice in Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will live again.
Amen.
Or as someone else put it, death is not a period in the Christian's life. It's just a comma in the story of a Christian. So praise God for our loved ones and the ones who have graduated from earth to heaven, every single one of them. This Memorial Day, we should also remember those that live. You say, too often, it's we have these regrets. We say, well, I wish I would have told this person this one thing. Don't have those regrets. If you have something to share with somebody, share it with them while they're still alive. Listen to this story. There was a boy named Don. He was 16 years old. He was a teenager in the 10th grade at Johnson High School. It was game day. He was the only sophomore suiting up for the varsity team. He was so excited he invited his mom and dad to attend, and it was his mom's very first football game. And she promised to be there with him with several of her friends. And so the game finally ended, and she was waiting outside the locker room to drive her son home. And the son says, Mom, what did you think of the game? Did you see those 3 touchdown passes and our tough defense and that fumble on the kickoff return we recovered? And his mother looked at him and replied, Don, you were magnificent. You had such presence. I was even proud of the pride you took in the way you looked. You pulled up your knee socks 11 times during the game. And I could tell you were sweating all over because those bulky pads you were wearing. You got 8 drinks of water during the game. And you even splashed water on your face twice. I really liked the way how you patted on the back number 12 and 27 every time they came off the field. And the boy looked at his mom and said, Mom, how do you know all that? And how can you say I was magnificent? I didn't even play in the game. His mother smiled and hugged him. I don't know anything about football. I didn't come here to watch the game. I came here to watch you. So many times we get wrapped up in the game instead of watching the person. Folks, football is fine, but people count most of all. People are supreme. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Our calling is to enjoy the people that God has blessed us with in our circle of influence. Whether that's sharing our gifts with them, whether that's sharing our love with them, enjoy the people you have. They're the most precious things you'll ever own. My grandparents were really loving people, as most grandparents are. And I remember whenever me and my friends would go over to my grandparents' house, they would give us some of the most special gifts that could be given. Now, these gifts weren't materialistic goods. They were better than that. Our grandparents showed us that we were important. When we would talk to our parents sometimes, they heard our stories hundreds of times. They didn't want to listen to us anymore. Go to your room and play. Go outside and play. Go do this. But not our grandparents. My grandmother and Grandpa Barris, every time we were over there, they would ask us about our day. They'd compliment us on our achievements. They'd even tell us how great we looked, regardless of what we looked like. They would tell us how great we smelled, even though we hadn't taken a bath in weeks. And they would tell us how great of children we were, even though we caused trouble all the time. They would sit down and listen to us as we would talk to them for hours about our lives. You know why? Because they put our needs above their needs. They gave us the most precious gift that life has to offer. You know what that gift is? It's time. Folks, if you have family members or friends or people that made a big impact in your life, you should remember them this Memorial Day. You should thank them and love them and spend time visiting with them if you're able to. People need to know that we care about them and we love them while we're here on the face of this earth, while we're still living. A famous preacher once said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." And church, I got to ask us the question, what are we doing today to show the people that are living around us God's love today? I mean, I found out today that Miss Marguerite has a neighbor that lives behind her that's dating my daughter. Can you believe that? I thought Kyle was dating my daughter. But maybe my daughter is dating two men. Oh, no, Kyle does live behind her. And you know, I started to defend Kyle. I don't know why, but I started to defend Kyle. I was like, well, he's a good guy. I mean, he's been great for faith. And Miss Marguerite's like, oh, well, I wasn't worried about that. And she's like, I just want him to know that that crazy old lady that lives behind him that's always yelling at her grandkids is not a bad person. So I didn't need to defend you at all, Kyle. I needed to defend Sister Marguerite. But you have a great neighbor. She's fantastic. I've known her for years. Wonderful lady. But so I ask you, church, what are you doing to show people that you love them today? What are you doing to show people that they're valuable today? I read this poem. It says, "Is anybody happier because you passed their way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to them today? The day is almost over and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a friendly word for you? Can you say tonight in passing, with the days that slip so fast, that you helped a single person or the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent?" Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So as we close out this memorial message today, let's remember the importance of people. People are important. Let's not forget about those that passed away, our family members who have gone on to eternity, those soldiers that sacrificed their comforts, their dreams, and even their lives to give us the great freedom we have in the United States. Let's remember the living, those who have made an impact in our lives and have shaped us and helped us to become the people that we are today. Our parents, our aunts and uncles, grandparents. Let's honor them and love them as Jesus loves us. And finally, and most importantly, let's remember the biggest hero the world's ever seen. His name is Jesus Christ. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. He came to earth, was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived among us and never sinned. He taught us, bore the load of sins, and paid the ultimate price by dying on the cross so that you and I could have the forgiveness of sins and freedom and eternal life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And in John 3, 16 and 17 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Today, as your pastor, I'm proud to be a United States Army veteran. But I'm even prouder to be a Christian, a son of the everlasting God. Amen. What about you? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior today? Have you been valuing people and loving people the way that God loves you? Let's remember the importance of people today as we stand and bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we come before you, Lord, and we just thank you, God. Lord, I don't know if people in the congregation are like me, God, but there are times, Lord, where I take people for granted. God, I don't tell people thank you as much as I should or encourage them as much as I should. God, there are times where I just expect people to do certain things. And Lord, we shouldn't take people for granted. God, we should love the people that you've blessed us with. We should encourage them and strengthen them. God, help us to be a people that value other people, Lord. God, sometimes we look at these materialistic goods or things you've blessed us with, or jobs or cars or houses or things, and we look at them and we value them even more than we value people. God, help us. Lord, help us to value people and love you the way you do, Lord. God, thank you for all those people that have fought to give us the freedom we have. Thank you for all those people that have served and are still living here in the United States of America. Thank you, God, for our family members, Lord, that used to be with us but now are with you, Lord, that have taught us so many great things and helped us become the people that we are, Lord. God, help us to remember them. Help us also to take time out this Memorial Day to remember those that are living, God, to reach out and touch those that have touched us. Maybe say a word to them, write a letter, send an email or a text message, or maybe just simply walk up and give them a hug and not say a word at all. Thank you, God, for the people you've blessed us with that have shaped us. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. They don't know what it's like to be loved unconditionally, to be forgiven, because all they have is people that hold them hostage, hold their sins hostage, make fun of them and tease them. You know, you're never going to find happiness in life until you give your life to the Lord. All good comes from God. If you've been struggling in your life today, maybe you want to come down and pray at these altars and just say, God, I know you love me. I know the people in this church love me. But you know what, God? Sometimes I don't even love myself, Lord. I'm going through such a hard time, I just can't get through it right now. And Lord, I don't need anybody else's help. I need your help. Lord, would you show me you love me today? Maybe you need to come down to the altar and say, you know, I don't know who you are, Jesus, but I heard about you today. And Lord, I want to accept you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to forgive me for my sin. I want you to create a new heart in me. I want you to make me a new person, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to love people the way you love me. I want to love others that way. I want others to love me that way. Maybe you want to come down and give your life to the Lord. Maybe you just want to come down today and say, God, thank you for the people that have served our country. Maybe you want to come down and say thank you for that loved one that has passed away, God, that for the time that you blessed me with them. Whatever reason you want to come pray, these altars are yours. It's between you and God. You're welcome to come and pray about anything you have today as we sing this verse of invitation. And that verse of invitation today is hymn 562, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand.